perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to have you joining us. As I've been saying for the past couple episodes now, we are recording at the National Service Committee's Leaders and Ministries Conference in Dallas, Texas. And these episodes are just so spirit-filled and so spirit-led because we're talking with amazing men and women who are just on fire for the Holy Spirit. As this man said earlier in the week that I'm going to be talking to now, he said he is addicted to God. So we're very, very excited to have Tom Mangan with us. Tom is on the National Service Committee, and he's also a founding member of the Ark and the Dove, which he's going to explain during our interview. So thank you so much, Tom, for being here on Young Catholics Respond.
Thanks, Bill. Bill, it's a pleasure to be here. I really am addicted to God. More specifically, I'm addicted to the Holy Spirit and everything He's doing, not only in the world at large, but more particularly in my own life.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's unpack that statement a little bit. And just give me, you know, how you grew into your addiction. I mean, you know, how did you just become addicted to God?
Well, I just think that, you know, from baptism, being infiltrated as an infant with the Holy Spirit, I don't think I ever was without God. I always had a sense in some little or great way of the very presence of God. But more particularly what happened to me with regard to baptism in the Holy Spirit is before we knew of charismatic renewal or about the coming of the Holy Spirit, I was a Duquesne University student in the 60s. And it was back then that I joined what we called the Key Row Society, which was a group of young people who just wanted more of God. They wanted to like know more. And I fit the bill. Like, I wanted to know more about Christ and what He meant to my life in a deeper, more personal way. So I joined the Key Row Society. And why that's important is it's members of the Key Row Society that in 1967, they were the ones who were on the Duquesne weekend.
Yeah.
My brother David was one of them, and of course he was on the weekend, and dear friends of mine were also on that particular weekend.
Sure, and you missed out on that, but tell us the story why you missed out on that.
Yeah, some people wonder, well, where were you in that mix? Well, after graduation from Duquesne University in 1966, I joined the Peace Corps. I was inspired with the presidency of John F. Kennedy and wanting to really do more for my country than what I expected my country to do for me.
Yeah.
I joined the Peace Corps and I was sent off to Turkey to serve there in the Peace Corps.
Sure.
And it was a life-changing experience. And sometimes people say, wouldn't you have rather been on the Duquesne weekend? Well, in reality, I think the Holy Spirit puts us where we need to be.
Yeah.
And I needed to be in the Peace Corps, and I needed to be serving in that kind of way.
Yeah, and so where was the Holy Spirit for you in that service?
Exactly. A very good question, Bill. And this is what happened was I'm over there serving in a foreign country, Middle Eastern country, a Muslim country, not a Catholic country. But one of the things that was amazing when I was training for the Peace Corps in Los Angeles, you had to meet with a psychologist, and the psychologist easily picked up that I was religious and that I something different. I was Catholic.
Yeah.
And they said, how are you going to go without going to Mass every week? And I said, well, to be close to the Lord, I don't have to go to church, though that would be my preference. I don't have to do that. But no, that's not going to be an issue for me.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit did me a great favor. Of all the places I could have been placed in Turkey, I was given, my assignment was going to be on the Black Sea coast and away from the major cities. I was on the Black Sea coast, but I was only 35 miles away from a Catholic mission. And the whole 2 years I was there, I probably missed Mass because of itinerary and things I had to do, maybe five times.
Wow.
It was, I mean, the Lord provided the church for me, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's what led me to the experience I'm going to tell you about.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us. Tell us about the experience, man. We're all hungry for it.
Well, while I was there, obviously, on February 18th, 1967, it was actually the weekend of the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Right.
And by the way, February 18th is my birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday on the 18th of February.
So it was my birthday, and my friends were at the Ark and the Dove, which was a little retreat house in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, and they were having the retreat, and that's when the Holy Spirit fell, as many of your listeners have to know about the history of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. A lot of people think because it was the Duquesne weekend, it happened at Duquesne. Well, it really didn't. It happened at the Ark and the Dove. It happened in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, and when that happened, my friends, my brother, would write me, and they told me about this experience. And unfortunately, being in a non-Christian country, there was no one to ask questions about or get more information.
Right.
So I had to look in my New Testament and read Acts of the Apostles myself and figure out, what are they talking about? The coming of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. So I read up on it. I read up on it, and I was mystified. What was this all about? And I never heard of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost of that year, so February happened, and I'm going to guess that Pentecost that year was sometime at the end of May.
Sure.
I was off to the mission 35 miles away, this little, very small mission, where the priest couldn't dress like priest. There was only one priest there. And I would go there every week, and I could sleep there, so I could sleep upstairs. Believe it or not, on that Pentecost vigil, I was sleeping overnight in their upper room.
Wow.
I was up there, and I was mulling in my mind, what's this all about that happened to my friends and my brother?
Yeah.
And so I'm laying on my bed getting ready to go to sleep, thinking about it and praying about that, asking the Lord for wisdom. And all of a sudden, I decided to pray. And I raised my hands above my head, and I said, "Come, Holy Spirit." I can't explain to you what happened, but the descent of a kind of pressure, I would say it was at that time. It was just this heavy pressure coming down on me. It scared me to blazes.
Yeah.
And I raised my hands real quick, and I said, "Stop!"
Push it all back up. My gosh, wow.
So I yelled, "Stop," and this descent of this, what I thought was pressure, and now I would say it clearly was the very manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, was coming toward me. And I gathered my breath, and I yelled again, "Come, Holy Spirit." And again, there was that descent. I kept that up for I don't know how long, but I was so afraid because I didn't know what this was all about that I just fell asleep.
Oh, wow.
And when I got up in the morning, all I can tell you is I had such an overwhelming sense of God's joy that when I went downstairs to go to Mass, and there was only maybe eight people because the eight people were either Armenians or they were American airmen who were on a base in the city of Samsun. And I was so filled with this joy, and I had this silly grin on my face. I must have looked certifiable. They must have said, "There's a lunatic in our midst." Yeah. I was so overcome with joy that when we gathered around the altar, I started to shake hands with everybody and say, "Happy Pentecost."
Wow.
That, and you have to remember, this is 1967.
Yeah.
These people must have looked at me and says, "We don't know who this strange man is, but he needs to be locked up and soon, you know. So that's what happened to me while I was in Turkey.
Wow.
And so to make this, you know, to round the story out and bring things to a close here, one of the things that happened was, is I came home, and when I came home, I had all these questions because I couldn't get them answered in Turkey. So I returned home in 1968, and I talked to my brother, talked to my friends, started to sort things out. Is this really from the Lord? Because back then, there wasn't this acceptance, this clear acceptance, this openness that we have to the Holy Spirit today. It's understood. There were no books written at that point. So I was kind of weighing out, is this really from the Lord, or is this really for Catholics and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then, so what I decided to do is I went to a priest friend who was the chaplain at Duquesne University. He was the chaplain when I was a student. He was still there. So I asked him his advice.
Yeah. And what did he say?
Well, he was against the experience.
Really?
He was against the experience. However, he gave me what I think was the most solid advice I could have. He said, Tom, here's the way I look at it. He says, the Holy Spirit is a uniter, not a divider. And I took that home with me, and I'm thinking, my brother's over here on this side of things, filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of not there.
Yeah.
And so we're divided. And if this is the Holy Spirit, as this good chaplain friend of mine said, then my brother should come over to where I'm at, or I should go over to where he's at. And so what I did, Bill, is I set up a time of prayer, and I thought, I'm going to pray about it. And Lord, move my brother or move me, but you're a Holy Spirit of unity. So I began to pray that. And then this is the crazy thing that happened to me. I picked up a Bible, randomly open it. I open up to Acts 2:37. And I look at it, and it's talking about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then I would close it up. I could go anywhere, pick up any Bible. It didn't matter what language it was in. It didn't matter whether it opened from the left or the right. I could turn it upside down.
Yeah.
I open it up. I open up to Acts 2:37. And so I see that the Lord is basically saying, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I said to myself, I'm already baptized. So I'll repent. Mm-hmm. So I just began to repent. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins of the past. I'm sorry for the things I did intentionally. I'm sorry for the things I did unintentionally. I'm sorry in every way for the ways that I've offended people, hurt people, or made wrong decisions, whatever. I just began to do that.
Yeah.
Now, my brother and I were teaching at the same school when I got back. He was a math teacher, I was an English teacher, and we were in the same school. Right. So that was uniting, wasn't it?
That was uniting, I mean, yes. See, it's all that language. You're exactly right. That spiritual director was right.
Exactly. So we're in the same school, but again, I'm not sure where I'm at with him and he with me regarding this thing called baptism in the Holy Spirit. So one of the things I did is, I was in class one day, and I had the students working at their desks in reading and writing something in particular. I forget what it was. And while they were doing that, I was kind of walking up and down the aisles, and in my mind, I was praying the Jesus prayer. Mm-hmm. Jesus, have mercy. My Jesus, mercy. Jesus, have mercy. And then Jesus and Jesus. And I was just so full of wanting to cleanse my heart and get right with God. And after class was over, my brother said to me, I'm going to have a retreat for some of the students at St. Paul Monastery on the south side of Pittsburgh. I'd like you to come and help. I said, absolutely. That's exactly right. Again, there's that element of uniting.
Yeah.
My brother could have asked any other teacher, but he asked me. So the time came for the retreat, and we went on the retreat together.
Beautiful.
And we were working with the students. Now, keep in mind, my brother wasn't telling anybody about this tongues thing and baptism in the Holy Spirit, because nobody knew at that point what we know and how we accept that today. Back then, it would be somewhat controversial. So he said, we're going to, the purpose of the weekend is to bring kids to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not going toward the baptism in the Holy Spirit and that kind of thing. So I understood that and certainly agreed with him. So here comes the climax that, you know, again, when I think about it, it fills me with a great deal of joy, and it almost makes me laugh when I think about what God was doing. On Saturday night of that retreat, we're standing in a circle, and we're just singing songs. There's about, I'm going to say, 12, 13 students, my brother and myself standing there, and my brother was standing right next to me. Again, the element of uniting, and he's standing right beside me. And it was accidental. It wasn't like we planned to be together. You would think we would more likely split up with the kids, but we were next to each other. And we're singing some folk song back then. It might have been Kumbaya. It might have been it might have been anything. Yeah. But we're singing. And we're just standing there having a very entertaining, fun kind of thing. And one of the students across from me puts his arm around the shoulders of the person next to him. And when he does that, it causes a chain reaction, comes all the way around to my brother. And my brother David, as soon as the student puts his arm, the student's arm around my brother puts wraps his arm around me. And instantaneously, I knew I could pray in tongues.
Wow.
Just like that. I just knew I could pray in tongues. So I whispered in my brother's ear, and I said, David, I can pray in tongues. He said, go downstairs to your room. Go down to your room. I said, great, I'm going to do that. So I went down to my room, closed the door, very private, and I just began to praise the Lord. I started with the Jesus prayer. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, forgive me. And all of a sudden, I just began to pray in tongues.
Beautiful.
And I had my hands lifted up. Tears are coming. I was so filled with the joy. It was the same joy that I experienced in Turkey. So that now made sense to me. And then the fact that I could pray in tongues told me, this isn't weird. It's different, but it's from the Holy Spirit. And it united my brother and me.
Yeah.
So I just kind of sat down, I relaxed, and then I had this thought come to my mind, you're being foolish, this is of Satan, you don't want to do this. And I remembered, because I was already Christian, I remembered I had read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Right, right.
And what came to my mind right away was, at the beginning of that book, it states, C.S. Lewis says, the one thing the devil can't stand is derision, or being made fun of, or laughing at. That phrase popped into my mind. I just began to laugh. I said, you're a fool. Yeah. I don't believe you. You're not right.
Oh my gosh.
This is from the Lord. And I raised my hands again and just... Wow. Prayed in tongues, prayed in English, and I've never stopped.
No, you haven't. I know you haven't. I can tell that. Let's take a short break here, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the place, the Ark and the Dove, because it truly is an anointed house of the Lord. I've been there, so I can say that. But we'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side of this break. I'm Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond. We're talking with Tom Mangan right back after this.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, Our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Your heart is always beating. But you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is truly at work here at the NSC Council meetings and conference. It's at work right here in this interview because the Holy Spirit tends to take over when we're together and has us talk for an additional 6 minutes about things. So what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to actually do a completely separate episode on the Ark and the Dove with Tom. He's such a gracious person. He's agreed to do that. But I want to finish up this episode, Tom, because we only have about 6 minutes left.
Sure.
with you know, kind of an understanding of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You left us off with your journey, with being on that retreat with young people and being with others and praying and having the gift of tongues, in your room, by yourself, and praying in the Spirit. And you said this wasn't scary. You knew this was of the Lord. You even challenged a little bit by Satan, and said, kind of laughed at him and said, no, this is of God. So there's a lot of people out there, though, that don't understand the charismatic renewal, that think it might be and we're learning it's not. In fact, the church has just recently said it's not. It's not a fringe movement. It's at the heart of the church. It's part of the church. But people don't understand it. Talk a little bit about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Talk about tongues as well, because that's a gift some people get a little wigged out by.
Yeah, I think the reason why there's some guardedness or some negativity toward this phenomenon of baptism in the Holy Spirit and tongue speaking is the fact that we don't have a very good understanding of the Holy Spirit. We have a slot in our personal theology for Father, and we have a slot for Son, as in Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. But we kind of hold in reserve an understanding of the Holy Spirit. And my way of referring to the Holy Spirit is he's the shy sovereign. He's the one who kind of doesn't make a burst, so to speak, on the scene. He is in Jesus, and Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, before he leaves the earth, says, now, I'm going away, but I have to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. So I think a lot of people need a better understanding. I think the charismatic renewal has gone a long way to bring the Holy Spirit to center stage.
Yeah.
And I know my own personal experience, I was impacted by this breath, if you want, this force, if you want, of the person, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And it was so powerful upon me that it was undeniable that this was of God. And when my brother put his arm around me and I began to pray in tongues, you know, again, that's only one of many ways in which the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is signaled by being able to pray or speak in tongues. And a lot of people are shy away from it because it's somewhat embarrassing. You know,
yeah.
What do you mean I'm speaking these gibberish kind of words and, you know, nobody understands them and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, it's not gibberish, it's an actual language. We sometimes don't know what language it is. It could be a language of angels.
Right.
But a lot of times, too, it's languages that are spoken on the earth. Some of them are languages that have languished and kind of disappeared.
Yes.
My brother once was praying in tongues. My brother was praying in tongues once, and somebody recognized it as archaic French.
Mm.
Now, the tongues that I was praying in, I don't think they've ever been recognized, but that's true for most people. But at any rate, the thing that I'm really thrilled about it's not tongues so much. It's the joy and the peace that I felt in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what our young people need to recognize, is the transformational aspects of the Holy Spirit and what He can do to your life and what He can do to your heart.
Yes.
And one thing more about tongues that I would say is, it's a humiliating experience because it brings humility. It's a matter of saying it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and anything that the Holy Spirit wants to give me, even tongues, I want to receive.
Absolutely.
But again, the main thing is the peace, the joy, the patience, the kindness, the goodness,
the fruit
of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And that's what it is. So
beautiful.
I'm excited to be zealous for God, to be able to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to witness the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Well, you certainly do that, Tom. Thank you so much for being here for this episode. And listeners, stay tuned next week because we're going to continue our conversation with Tom Mangan. I'm Bill Snyder. This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
This is Martha Fernandez Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by RememberYouAreLoved.com. There are several obstacles to love that I want you to be aware of. If you do not have a good relationship with God, it is likely that you will not receive the love of God the way that He intends to give it to you. If you have a limited knowledge of God and you do not know Him as a merciful, compassionate, close, personal God who wishes to accompany you on earth and have you with Him for all eternity, or if you conceive of God as harsh, judgmental, rigid, you are surely not going to receive the love, the tender, merciful love of God. Or if you have a wrong image of yourself, if you do not see what God sees when He looks at you, you will not receive the love of God. You will not see that He smiles upon you and sees that you are very good. And thirdly, if you are busy, it is unlikely that you will receive the fullness of God's love. So slow down, get to know yourself, get to know God. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Subscribe to the Patchwork Heart Radio Podcast. We are available on the Apple Podcast, Podbean, TuneIn, Stitcher, and AHA Radio mobile apps by searching for Patchwork Heart Radio. You can also visit patchworkheart.podbean.com to subscribe and listen to every episode of Young Catholics Respond, inspirational talks, and other Catholic media content. Thanks for listening and being a part of our heart.